Is this thing on? Hello, hello. What is up, you guys? You are listening to Grow with Ro. I am your host, Ramana. And on this show, we have discussions that help you feel better, think better, do better, and get you from where you are to where you want to be. So let's get into it. All right. Hello. Welcome back. Happy Wednesday. So this is part two of my conversation with Will. Last week, we had talked about the ins and outs of parenting and the challenges of watching your kid come into their own as a teenager. It was a really awesome episode. So if you haven't listened to that yet, then pause this and start with part one so that you have a little bit more context for today's conversation. In today's episode, we will hone in a little bit more on Will's specific journey with his own points of growth pertaining to habits, behavioral patterns, his upbringing, and his current relationship. So let's get into it. Are there books and videos and things that you have read or listened to learn these things? How did you learn all of these tactics and tools?
I definitely do listen to a lot of information, more so pertaining to relationships. I started really digging into relationships, and it was honestly geared more towards a girlfriend, a wife, a partner than it was my child. But I started really focusing on trying to look at things differently about 3 to 4 years ago. Things were just not going the way that I wanted things to go in my life. I had run into the same roadblock, the same similar path, and I was making the same decisions, and it was not getting me the results that I wanted. And so I started looking at myself in the mirror, and I started looking at other ways to not only learn how to communicate to people, but as well as accepting people, accepting things, accepting this is the way it is. This isn't going to change. So how can we make it better? How can we work around it? I was very much, if this isn't working, then you need to cut it off. If it's not working this way, then I need to stop. If this relationship's not working, I need to break up with this person. That was always the mindset. And I had to kind of retrain myself to look at things differently and realize that not everybody is going to see things the way I do. But there are different ways to approach a situation. And with my son, it's interesting because he's, and I don't know the right way to say this, but he has been the constant relationship in my life. Unlike other people in my life that have come and gone and taught me lessons, and then I make sure that the next relationship I have is better and I've learned from this lesson, he's the consistent one all the time. So it's a very unique relationship that I have with him, unlike any other relationship I have in this world. I have a very close relationship with my parents, but I haven't lived with my parents for so long that our relationship is different than it was when I lived with my parents. My son, on the other hand, we have had the longest standing relationship that I've ever had with anybody. And so that brings a very unique dynamic. I always say, like, eventually your kids turn into your roommates, and they do. I mean, at the end of the day, they do. He's a roommate of mine that I, at this point in my life, I love him unconditionally, but he's still a roommate. If I was to, you know, if him and I were to sit down and look at the next 12 months, if we want to be roommates together, I don't think either one of us would probably want to be roommates with one another. However, that's not our relationship. So it definitely brings out a different, it forces you to have to communicate. Again, the way that I used to handle things when it wasn't working and I didn't think the communication was good, I would sever the relationship and move on. This isn't that type of situation.
It's like marriage, right? And so, yeah, I've brought this up on episodes before, but I never used to understand even just the idea of getting married first before moving in. Like, I didn't understand the significance. I'm like, what do you mean? You have to see if you can work as roommates, right? What if they, like, are way messier than you and you realize you're incompatible? But now I completely understand that it comes down to commitment. And the commitment, the decision to commit, is what's going to determine what actions you take, right? And so if you get married first, let's say, or if maybe, okay, fine, you, like, Ryan and I live together, but I put a deadline on that. I'm like, look, I'm done playing house after June. Like, I don't know what to tell you, right? Like, you no longer have to try things on and see if they work because you just make them work. And so I imagine that's what you're saying with the Keith situation, is like, because he's been around for 17 years, you don't have the luxury to be like, okay, well, you know what? I don't agree with this or this or this. Have a good day. Like, you just have to figure it out. And if the things that you're saying, the way you're communicating, is not getting the response you want, is actually a detriment to your relationship rather than fueling connection, right? Or anything like that. Or leading to respect, like, it's your job to figure out how to work with it, how to make that relationship better and make you guys come a little bit closer and be more understanding with each other. So yeah, it's actually a good training lesson for marriage, because within marriage, it's the same thing. You have this person, you don't get to just say, oh, I hate the way that they do this, like, goodbye. No, you're like, okay, this doesn't work for me. I don't need you to completely change, but let's figure out a way to either outsource the cleaning, right, or outsource your laundry here, or figure out something that does work for us both, where we both can keep our sanity and move closer towards harmony.
Yes, 100%. And it's funny you bring that up, because that's been a conversation with my partner Brianna and I lately, is the understanding of, I was the same way. I've always been worried about marriage, and I've always been kind of afraid of it, in the sense of it going wrong. And I've now learned, and again, it took me 30 some years to finally figure this out, but I've learned that it is just like you said, getting married before you move in. Like, I actually understand that now. And I understand it because, you know, once you actually get married, you have to work through things. There is no not working through things. And I think that's the biggest difference between, you know, my parents' generation and the generation that we live in now. And like I said, the older I get, the more I start looking towards my parents and towards my father and my mother for that, not only advice, but that example. And it's the first relationship I've ever had in my life that I had full control over. Now I have no control over, and I want to, not only do I want to maintain a relationship, but ultimately when my son is 30 years old, I really would love and would love the opportunity to have him in my life, because at that point he's going to choose on whether he wants to be in my life or he wants me to be in his life. And so a lot of that thinking goes into my mind now. Teaching him how to have integrity, teaching him how to be a man, but at the same time, I don't want to push him away. And unfortunately, right now, that's what's going to happen, is I'm going to push him away because he's not going to understand it. But again, ultimately, I kind of look at when I was younger and when I was a teenager, and I felt the same way about my father at that point. I didn't agree with him. We didn't get along. And now I call my dad for all the time for advice. So I think that ultimately that's my hope and my goal, is this comes full circle and he understands why it was done, why there was rules, why he's treated differently than a lot of his peers and a lot of the people at his age and his school. Because I treat him differently because he is different, and I want him to be different. I don't want him to be like everybody else.
I think we're kind of in a really difficult time. Society is not making good future citizens with a lot of the way things are being run, including some parenting stuff that I see out there, just of parents being afraid to tell their kids no, parents being afraid to hurt their kids' feelings, right? And these sorts of things are like, if they're if someone is mean to them, like, they just baby them through the situation, right? And it's just not how you were raised. It's not how I was raised. It's like, you have to be told no. You need a spanking sometimes. sometimes. You need to be taught discipline and be okay being the bad guy as a parent. I'm sure, which I can imagine is like very difficult, being with someone who has been your best friend for 17 years and knowing that you're hurting yourself in disciplining him and pushing him away. Like, that can't be easy, you know? And like that sounds like it just would be really painful to have them like not answer your calls for a while, or like not want to talk to you, or not fill you in on things, or just like give you the cold shoulder, and you're like, I'm doing this for their best, and they'll come around and grow up eventually and understand. But I'm sure that like that's the hard route. And a lot of parents aren't doing that this day and age, because the short-term pain that they're experiencing is their focus versus like the long-term gain from that disciplinary action or that behavior. So
I will say the last 4 years has definitely been more difficult, but it also is only getting easier. The starting point was very tough. That was very emotional. That was very heartbreaking. It was actually a loss. When you start to lose your child's sense of being a child, and I can remember the day that he stopped cuddling. Like, that was a huge, huge, that was a sad, sad part in my life. And his mother and I go back and forth about that all the time. We remember those days where we no longer were the person he looked up to. And it's very hard to initially transition from a friend to a parent. In fact, it's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do, and I'm terrible at it, because I ultimately don't want to be a disciplinary, especially the older he gets. And like he said before, he's 97% perfect on everything. And I always take that into consideration, but at the end of the day, it's the 3% that's more important than the other 97% right now to me. And it's about being consistent, and it's about being able to hold yourself accountable when nobody's looking. And that's what I'm trying to teach him. And that's been the toughest part of my relationship with him, is he is, and everybody always says the same thing, he's a really good human being, he's a good kid, and he really is. So I have to like juggle this, you know. It would be very easy for me to say, you know what, you're right, you're 97% perfect, you know what, forget about the other 3%.
But he is that way because you've been this way. So it's like, yeah, let's remember the 97, but it is exactly the not authoritarian, you're not like mean-handed and hearted, right? But like, it is that disciplinarian, that parent card that built him into the man that he is now.
Yes, and I agree. And that's ultimately what I keep telling myself to make myself feel better in this situation.
Yeah, that's really tough. So a little bit more about the parenting here. So a lot of my friends, I wrote this down, a lot of my friends who are having kids now, like mention how having the kid, and we've already gone into this, but just how it's the greatest personal development lesson, because the kid ends up triggering like so much for you that you thought was healed or that you didn't even know was there. Has this been your experience? Like, what's one of the biggest things that you've learned about yourself from like a holy crap, like I got some work to do on myself, apart from the communication bit, because that also contributes to relationships. But yeah, just like what can you think of that's like one of the most painful things you've learned about yourself through this experience?
For me in particular, I had my son at a very young age. So it's been so long, I don't even remember how old I was. I think I was 21, 22. And for me, it is 100% the reason I am where I am today. Had I not had some type of direction and responsibility, at that age, I would have been all over the place. So he is the main reason I am in the position I am today. I had a sense of direction. I was always raised in a home and an environment where parents are involved with the children. So it was never an option to me to not be involved in my son's life. But yeah, I had to do things at a very young age that I didn't want to do for somebody else. And I don't think I would have done that for a partner. I don't think I would have done that for a girlfriend. I don't think I would have done that for my parents. I think he was the only one that would have triggered that sense of, this needs to be done, whether I'm happy or not, I need to do it. And so definitely he is the reason I am here where I am today. As far as the part he has taught me, he probably has taught me more about communication than any of my partners in the past, just because I no longer have the excuse of this is how I am, this is who I am, and you got to deal with it, because he doesn't deal with it. He walks away. He just ignores me. There is no communication if he does not want to communicate at this point. And so it has forced me to truly look at how I communicate and have real conversations with not only him, but with other people and my partner, in the sense of, like, this is who I am. I definitely want to change, but you got to, like, give me a little space to mess up and then say, and then tell me I messed up and then let me think about it. It's not going to just be perfect the next time. I'm not going to be a perfect communicator the next conversation. You know, give me a little space, give me a little leeway to have this conversation and then talk about how the conversation went, and I'll do the same for you.
Yeah, so how has that played out in your relationship? Has that been something that you've taught Brianna, or that you guys have just navigated together?
Communication between my partner Brianna and I is very interesting, because we are identical. We are exactly the same person. So I always kind of say that Brianna is me and I am Brianna, but I'm 8 or 9 years older than her. And so a lot of the things that I see from her is what I saw from myself before. And I think that just in general, I have calmed down a lot, and I've learned that timing communication at the right time and then communicating at the wrong time can get two different results. And I'm more stringent on that now than I ever have been. Again, Brianna and I are identical as far as we do not keep anything from each other. We can't keep anything from each other, and we are brutally honest with each other. I'm just more and I think the training that I've had with my son has definitely pushed me towards timing the communication versus just saying it. I kind of look at it like this, you know, like when you want to communicate and you don't want to wait, that's you wanting that. I've learned that I have to communicate the way that the person needs to be communicated to. And sometimes even though I want to get it out and I want to be just get it off my chest, it might not be the best time for me to do that in order to get the results that I want.
Yes, I think this plays out in like male-female dynamics in general, because our ways of communicating, like Ryan and I had this conversation a couple weeks back. It was when we were on vacation and we got into some conflict, and the way that it played out was that he was essentially just letting me know that I had like crossed a line and that I was being a bitch, right? Which I was, but I didn't like the way that was delivered to me. That information was delivered to me. And so automatically my brain shut off to even the key takeaway he's trying to get me to understand. And instead now I'm responding to his tone, right? And I'm responding to his body language and just the harshness of the words. And then that conflict progressed because he's like, oh, you can always challenge me, but the second I tell you you're out of line, all of a sudden now you can't take it, right? And I'm like, no, it's not about that. I want you to challenge me, but be really nice while you do it, right? Be really loving as you do it. And I think that I've talked to a lot of friends that go through that same thing, is like, look, I'm fine being called out or being taught something or whatever it is, but can you just try to be a little more gentle or loving in your approach while you're trying to tell me that? Because watch what reaction you're getting out of me, you know? And I think that my mind, I've learned a little bit more to navigate Rye, where I know that if I get a certain way, he's going to shut down on me, right? If I get loud or if I get big or explosive or whatever, he's going to shut off. Like, he's going to pull away. He's going to get avoidant. And so I had to learn, okay, that doesn't work. That doesn't get me the response I want. This conversation is not going to go anywhere. What can I change, right? I'm in charge of how I send the message. What can I change about my delivery to have him be more receptive to the information I'm giving him, right? And it's that is, to your point, just learning how the other person communicates. And sometimes I wish that there was a little bit more focus. That's something we're working on, is him also being able to pause and think back to how I enjoy being communicated to, because I literally will say to him, right, I get what you're trying to say, but are you getting the response you want? Is this how you'd like for me to respond to you? No. So like, try a different tactic. Let's try a different approach. You know what I mean? Like, if you know that I respond a little bit better when you like cushion the blow with like, I love you, but you're being a bitch at least, right? Like, I respond a little bit better to it. So yeah. And I think, to your point, sometimes it takes like taking some time away from one another in order to like let the emotions simmer and remind ourselves of, okay, what am I trying to get across and how can I best present this information to the person where they will actually be able to hear me instead of being defensive or on guard or hurt.
Well, here's another unique thing to think about too. And I'm going to kind of, when I was a teenager versus when I was 25 years old, I was a whole different person. And I always found it unique how my parents would talk to me when I was 25 the same way they talked to me the last time they saw me, right? And so when I lived with my parents as a teenager, that was the relationship that we had established. And then when I was 25, I was not the same person anymore. Therefore, you communicating to me in that exact same way didn't work, right? And it's always fascinating to me, because I've even had this situation with other family members where they expect the same communication, they expect the same verbiage that they got from me when I was younger, but I'm a totally different person. And so it's living with that and having that, you know, Brianna and I, for instance, we've been together for 2 years. So like, we have grown together in 2 years. Like, we're on the same page. We know each other very well, right? However, my son, I've been with him for 17 years. And the kid that walks in today, I don't really know him, because he's internally changing and growing. And so that same remark or that same conversation that I had with him last week doesn't make sense to him this week. And he's growing so much that it's a very unique, like I said, it's a very unique situation when you're communicating to the same person for 17 years, but the communication changes drastically, because again, he also has boundaries. He also has established, you know, you're not going to talk to him in a certain way. And I have to respect that. I have to respect that. And again, when somebody like that tells you that you're either not communicating in the right way to them, or they just walk away from you, it makes you think more than it does if your partner does, right? Because your partner knows who you are today. He's changing. And again, he's 17. He'll be 17 this month. And in 5 years, he's going to be a totally different person. So like, it's going to be such a unique experience when we interact, because it'll be just a very unique experience. I'm already kind of touching on it. I'm already, because my 17-year-old, if you were to meet him and talk to him, you would probably think he's in his 20s. And so I can only imagine at 25 how it's going to be. And again, I've just learned that, like, I have to, leading him by example, at least, you know, showing him and telling him and throwing the information out there is all I can do right now. And he has proven to me that he does retain it. He does listen. But at the same time, it's going to be on his own time.
I think part of that evolution of the relationship as the kid gets older is that the obviously the dynamic is changing, like the power dynamic is changing, right? Because you go from caregiver to friend to disciplinarian to kind of, I assume when they get like in their 20s, they look to you like a little bit more equally. 20s and 30s, they probably look at you a little bit more equally, because now they have had their own experience to speak from, so you can have more relatable conversations where you maybe learn from one another in like a conscious way. And then hopefully later in life, they still look up to you as like an elder and a person of wisdom, right? But The last, was there anything else you wanted to add before we get into our final question?
So I know for me in particular, I had a very similar relationship to my dad, and I pushed back on him and I didn't respect him at the time. And I thought that he was weak because of how he handled situations. I thought he was very weak because he always didn't put his foot down with my mother and didn't lead the way that I thought a man was supposed to lead at that time. But it's always funny how anything that's ever happened negatively in my life where it was an oh shit moment, I can bet you I called my dad and he's the first person I called. And now I look back at it and I'm very, very fortunate that I've had this real example of what a real man is, because a real man is not somebody who is in charge. A real man is somebody who knows how to lead without being a dictator. A real man is somebody who knows how to lead by being respected, not by saying that you should lead me. And my father did that. And as far as relationships are concerned and how he has handled and treated my mother, it is absolutely the best thing I could have ever seen, because I'm looking back at that now at my age, now that I'm actually looking at getting settled down, marriage, a family, and basically kind of restarting this whole process of another family. I'm looking at all of these factors now on how to navigate that in the best way possible.
When you were growing up and you had a different opinion of how your father should have handled things and stuff, did you watch your mother still respect him, even though he was responding to situations differently than you thought he should have? Like, if you saw her did you see her wearing the pants, and that led to him kind of being a doormat, even though that wasn't the reality of their relationship?
That's exactly what I thought. When I was younger, I always told myself I would never be like that. And, you know, my dad and I we're very different personalities. I'm a very, very straightforward, you know, my dad tells me all the time, he wishes he had what I have. But I have actually learned how to contain it because of him, and how to actually navigate it, especially with communication and in my relationships, because of him. But yeah, absolutely. I thought my father was a doormat when I was younger. And then I realized that he was actually the smarter one.
Awesome. Okay, so last question here. I always like to finish up with a growing pain, as we are all learning and evolving daily. So what is a growing pain that you are currently going through at the moment, whether as a parent, whether in your relationship, or just your own personal journey?
I would say my growing pain right now is more so my relationship.
Period.
Brianna and I have come to a part in our life, a place in our life. I feel like we are at our most comfortable in knowing what we want, and then knowing that we want it with each other. That also brings a different dynamic of wanting your partner to grow and wanting your partner to get better and wanting your partner to change with you. And the things that are important for me aren't necessarily important for her, and vice versa, because we live different role. We play a different role in our relationship. So it's actually been a very unique situation lately, because I can only speak for myself. My mindset has really changed from dating a girlfriend to wanting to start having a wife. And that has been the first time in my life that I've felt like that. I've always dated with a purpose, but now I don't want to date anymore. I want to take it to the next step, as far as doing things together on one path versus two separate paths walking beside each other. And when I say I don't want to date, I absolutely know the importance of going on dates and stimulating that side of it. But we are in a position where we're on two separate paths right next to each other. And we're trying to combine those two paths into one path. And it's been a very, it's brought out a lot of great things. It's brought out a lot of bad things, a lot of things that we need to work on. Definitely areas for growth. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's tough when you, yeah, you both want the other person to grow, but you each see that differently. Like maybe you might see, what do you mean? I'm doing great in that area. Or she might see, I'm doing great in this area, or I'm looking for something different in this area. Or some, a conversation Ryan and I have is like, Ramana, there are two ways to get to the same destination. Did you know? And I was like, no, actually, I didn't know, right? Because I think all these gurus out there and books and stuff just say like, look, here's the blueprint. If you want this, you do these three things. And my mind is very black and white. So I'm like, Ryan, no, we're doing these three things. If you don't get up before 5 a.m., you're a failure in life. And how are you ever going to see success? Right? And he's like, okay, I'm getting up at 7. And guess what? I'm still making more money than you, you know, or I'm still getting to this and this and this. And so I've had to retrain. That's been really tough for me as well, because yeah, I think it's just having that black and white thinking. And if you and her are the same, you both have black and white thinking, but your black and white thinking is, those are two very different things on those side paths. Yeah.
Yeah. And back to what you were saying earlier, like when your mindset changes from, okay, we're different, so we're not good for each other, let's move on from each other, versus, okay, we're different, we're not going anywhere, so how do we work around each other? How do we get to a point where we can, you can have your way, I can have my way, and we're both happy and we don't have resentment? Once you start getting to that mindset, and I think that's where I'm at versus the last 38 years of my life, I'm at a point now where I am excited and I want to work with this single person for the rest of my life versus let's just see if this works out. And if it doesn't, I'll move on to the next person. I'm no longer have that mindset. And I, again, I don't know if that's a mindset in general or if it's just a mindset because I feel like I've found the right partner. I just know that at this point in my life, I'm sticking to this partner. So like, let's work through it. Let's figure out how we can get better on all different levels. And if that means myself growing in certain areas and her not growing in certain areas and vice versa, then that's the way it is. It's not a bad thing. It's just we've gotten to a point now in our relationship where we, again, our two paths that are side by side are starting to merge a lot more. And it's definitely becoming more of a single path than it is two separate paths.
I have a question. What are your thoughts on monogamy, infidelity, people who get married and they're like, oh, I'm never going to cheat. Oh, I want to be married just to this one person forever. And then 20 years later, they still end up divorced or they still end up cheating and these sorts of things, right? You're a man of our town here. And then now you found someone that you want to settle down with and you're like, okay, I've done all the dating. Like I've had the experiences. I want to build and grow with this one person. What was that transition like? And how do you trust yourself enough I guess we can't ever predict the future, right? But to trust that you will be okay doing the work even in 20 years when, you know, because it's still like so new, so exciting. So I don't know. That's so scary to me.
Yeah, you just got me a little nervous. I've definitely learned that like putting myself just a couple years ago, I would say I've had my most growth as a man with integrity in relationships in the last 4 or 5 years. And I'd even go as far as saying the last 3 years. So like I'll even slim it down a little bit. But I've just learned that not putting myself in certain situations. Before I used to put myself in certain situations and I would say to myself, oh, no, I'll be okay. I'm in charge. I'm in control. And I've learned that once I'm already in that position, it's already one step too late. And I've also learned that, and this isn't just myself, like I've learned that Brianna or myself could easily fall out of love or we could fall out of our relationship. It's literally as simple as I'm making this choice every single day to be with her. And I can very easily not make that choice to not be with her. So like I just I look at my parents as a great example of this. You know, you have to make a conscious choice every single day to continue to do things that are putting you in the best position possible to have the best relationship. And then, you know, just putting myself in her shoes, if she does something that I don't like or vice versa, I just put myself in her shoes, or she puts herself in her shoes. And if it doesn't feel good, then you know it doesn't feel good for the other person. So it's that simple. It really is, for the most part. But I have been so many years that I've been in that I haven't understood that concept, that I realize that it does need to be said. And it's that simple, but yet it's actually a very, very tough thing to think about sometimes. But yeah, just not putting myself in certain situations and always putting myself in a position to succeed with her. And I'm also not afraid. I don't think either one of us are afraid to not be with each other and to if it's the right thing to do to not be with each other, we're okay with that. And we've accepted that. And I can't say that I've always reacted that way with my relationships. You know, some of them I've been a little more reliant on them for emotionally dependent. But in this case, you know, she's choosing me every day and I'm choosing her every day. And it is not perfect by any means. But it is definitely a different relationship than I've ever had.
Well, William, our time here has come to an end. You have some work to do. Guys, Will is a very busy man. He opened up, I'm going to give you a plug here. He opened up his own custom cold plunge business called Black Ice Plunge. I will link it in the bio. Tell everyone a little bit about what you do, because it is very unique and very cool.
Yeah, I'm excited. I just starting with the love and the passion of fitness, with health, and then the next step was cold plunging. It's a fad. Everybody's hearing about it. They talk about it everywhere. It's just one of those things that it's a thing that you add to your arsenal for fitness and for health. And just through doing that, I decided to fill there's a little bit of a gap with this industry. And I decided to be that person in the St. Pete, Tampa, Central Florida area to fill that gap. And so I started doing custom cold plunges, whether it's at home or for a business, a gym. I'm delivering a unit to a chiropractor in Orlando this weekend. So it's really I'm starting to see the business really open up and everybody's embracing cold plunging. But for me, it's just great because I can do something which I've always really enjoyed communication with my customers, and I've always enjoyed customers who are, you know, there's something about doing business, making money, but then also having happy customers and building relationships with people. And I've been able to do this with this industry. Because ultimately, if you're getting into cold plunging, something's a little bit wrong with you. Just like something's a little bit wrong with me. And because of that, we get along.
Always like, because Ryan will say, how do you like these brutal like CrossFit workouts? I'm like, I don't know. It's a mental illness. It really is. Because a lot of people will be like, this is awful. And I'm like, that was great. What do you mean? I feel fired up. So yeah, his business is unique. And I think it filled the affordability gap in the market. Yeah, because they're not $10,000. He takes like meat locker fridges and custom wraps them. It could be wood grain. It could be like matte black. They're very cool. He could put your logo or your motivational quote, live, laugh, love, right on the side of it, and deliver it straight to your house. So I will drop that link in the show notes. But other than that, thank you so much for making the time to hop on and be vulnerable and open and transparent in this conversation. I think this was super valuable and I really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you. It was fun. And I love you, Keith.
Thanks so much, you guys. That is it. If you got some value out of the episode, please pass it on to someone who might also get some value from it. Share it, like it. If you have questions or you want to see certain conversations happen in the future, drop a comment or message me or something of the sorts. And other than that, I will see you next week. Bye-bye.